Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in to Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having fantastic Fridays. NFL draft underway. I'm going to talk a lot about what we thought of the live show, the first round. We did a live show on me and Chad Withrow and Jonathan Hutton. If you're bored and you're going on a long drive and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what Clay thought of the first 16 or so picks, boom, you can watch me react to them live there. We got a lot to talk about. NFL draft first round. What in the world were the Atlanta Falcons thinking? Taking Michael Penix at 8. I'm going to break that down because I think it's such an instructive illustration of sports and business intersecting, and explain why it makes zero sense at all what the Falcons did. I haven't heard anybody else make this analogy. Brittany Griner compared to the five American hostages that remain under the control of Hamas in Gaza. Want to talk about that. Credit to Ben Sass, University of Florida president, how the Florida Gators are handling the protests that are going on right now on many different college campuses is, I think, the right call. I'll explain. Joe Biden says he'll debate Trump on Howard Stern, as they are now hiding Joe Biden as he walks because they're afraid of the visual of him walking to and from the helicopter. USC, that Southern Cal, has canceled their graduation for fear of anti-Israel protesters. Gallup polls are out, and Biden right now ranks as the lowest approved president in any of our lives. All that and more, plus LeBron James says it's just basketball as the LA Lakers go down 3-0 to the Denver Nuggets and lose an 11th straight game head-to-head, which is, I mean, let's be honest, pretty difficult to lose 11 straight basketball games against any opponent, much less if you are LeBron James and Anthony Davis and a part of a fairly decent LA Lakers squad. We'll talk about all that, plus Biden's lies in that Howard Stern interview. But I want to start with the first round. Biggest takeaway, 6 of the top 12 picks are quarterbacks. And I said this live on air last night during our draft show, but I think it's significant to contemplate here. The reality is this. If you don't have a great quarterback, the rest of your team doesn't matter. If you don't have a top 10 caliber talent at quarterback, you have virtually no chance to advance in the playoffs and be able to win a Super Bowl. So, for instance, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. Tennessee Titans, they drafted J.C. Latham, offensive tackle. They're going to plug him in to try to protect Will Levis. The analogy I made is, I'm not a particularly great-looking guy. Whatever shirt I wear at this point in my life, none of you see me in the shirt and think, man, I thought Clay looked old, ugly, and fat. But then I saw him in this new T-shirt, and he looks incredible. You can't camouflage having a crappy quarterback. It's like, if you're really unattractive, buying new shoes doesn't make a big difference. Nobody was ever like, yeah, you know, that guy or that girl, fat, old, and ugly, but man, those shoes, let's just talk about the shoes. Nah. If anything, sometimes if you have a nice thing on something that is old, fat, and ugly, it makes you look older, fatter, and uglier. That's why I only wear T-shirts. That's kind of where we are with the Tennessee Titans and with many other NFL teams out there. You know if you have a top 10 quarterback. If you're unsure, you don't have a top 10 quarterback. And that is where we are. And the result is everybody is going to do whatever they can, even if it means overreaching. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, all of the picks that were out there every single one of them, all six of them, J.J. McCarthy, who else is left? North Carolina's guy. All of them, Drake May, all of them are desperate Hail Mary attempts for all of those teams to find a quarterback. They hope that they've all got their C.J. Stroud and that they don't have their Bryce Young based on last year's performance. But it's worth the risk most of the time. Most of the time, it's worth taking that risk because you do need to find that signal caller extraordinaire in order to be able to win a championship. That doesn't explain the Atlanta Falcons. Now, there are lots of picks in the first round. A lot of you can have a huge variety of opinions about the different picks that you guys made, that your teams made, and that everybody sort of analyzes in that respect. Let me tell you this. The choice that the Falcons made is indefensibly stupid. And I put it on their owner, Arthur Blank. And I'm going to explain it to you in a simple way. I don't even really think this is a sports decision. I think it's more of a business decision. There were lots of people that the Falcons could have taken at 8 that many of us, we'd have no idea whether they panned out or not. But they would have been logical. So I want to walk you through a thought process chain here. The Falcons needed a quarterback. In the offseason, they decided they were going to solve their quarterback need by committing over $100 million to Kirk Cousins, brought him from Minnesota, paid him a lot of money, and said, okay, Kirk Cousins is our guy. They still had the number 8 pick. Kirk Cousins certainly signed with the expectation that the Falcons were going to be building talent around him, and that would aid and abet their ability to win the NFC South. Instead, they went and drafted Michael Penix Jr., who will soon turn 24 years old, with the number 8 overall pick. I don't have anything against Michael Penix. He had an incredible year with the Washington Huskies. I think he may well end up being a good NFL quarterback. But the decision to pay Kirk Cousins $100 million and be the guy and draft Michael Penix at 8 is indefensible from a competitive perspective as it pertains to the business of football. You have a salary cap. You have a limited amount of money that you can spend on talent. By taking Michael Penix at 8, you have completely invalidated the decision to give Kirk Cousins $100 million. You have screwed your team. You could have just said, hey, we think Kirk Cousins is the answer the next 3 or 4 years, even at 35 years old. That's why we're giving him $100 million. And you could agree or disagree with that with the Atlanta Falcons, and we could see how it plays out. Or you could have said, hey, we've got the number 8 overall pick. We're going to go get a quarterback. We've fallen in love with Michael Penix, and even if you're reaching and drafting him there, if you're right, nobody goes back and says, you know what? They valued him too highly. If you're right about the quarterback and you end up with a top 5 or 6 guy, whatever you pay is worth the cost because the quarterback position is so incredibly important. What you cannot do is pursue 2 different pathways, which make success down either pathway less likely on an individual basis. The Falcons and their owner, Arthur Blank, had a choice to make about the direction of the franchise. We're with Kirk Cousins or we're with Michael Penix. You can't do both. Now, some of you out there, it is an untenable position and an indefensible choice that they have made from a football perspective, but also from a business perspective because of the salary cap. Now, some of you out there are saying several different things. The most prominent defense of this decision that I have seen, well, hold on, before I go into the defense, let me explain further. If everything goes well with Kirk Cousins, then he is going to be the quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years, and you will have paid a lot of money to Michael Penix Jr., and he will have ended up not ever playing in a game until he's 28 or 29 years old. 0 cents if everything goes well. If everything doesn't go well, then you've wasted $100 million on Kirk Cousins, money that could have been spent on any number of other talented players to surround Michael Penix Jr., and you haven't allowed Michael Penix Jr. the best opportunity to succeed either. So there is no best case scenario here because you've taken two diametrically opposed decisions from a managing your foundation, managing your franchise perspective. Now, some of you are saying, well, this is like Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love. That's wrong. Jordan Love was drafted 23rd overall, and the Packers questioned and did not believe at that point in time that Aaron Rodgers had much gas left in their tank. Aaron Rodgers proved them wrong, went out and played at an MVP level, but the Packers made that choice because it was late in the first round, and they believed that they were getting value on Jordan Love. They didn't draft Jordan Love number 8 overall, which is a tremendous amount of draft capital. If they had, I still think it would be questionable for the Falcons if they had taken Michael Penix 23rd or 24th overall. I still would say I don't like this move given what you're investing in Kirk Cousins. But there's a big difference between the value of the number 8 pick and the value of the number 23 pick. And oh, by the way, you probably could have traded back, gotten a lot more picks, and still had a decent chance to get Michael Penix, I really do believe. Okay, so that's first part here. Second part, if you're trying to defend it. Well, Kirk Cousins is coming off an ACL, so who knows how well he's going to play. Okay, that's fine. Then don't give him $100 million and the keys to the franchise. Either make the choice to go with Kirk Cousins or make the choice to go with Michael Penix. Some of you are saying, well, I don't know why Kirk Cousins would be upset about this. Excuse me, he's on a team and his goal is to win. I sold OutKick just about 3 years ago to Fox. By the logic that you guys are putting out there, once I got my money, I shouldn't care about anything having to do with OutKick at all because I got my money. Well, that would make me an awful teammate, and it would also make me an awful employee. Yes, I want to be paid for my labors and for the company that I founded, but I also don't want somebody else to drive it into a ditch and make us fabulously unsuccessful because they're making poor choices managing the team that I decided to join. So anybody out there is like, I don't know why Kirk Cousins is upset. I do, because he probably looks at the value of the number 8 pick and says in a best case scenario, the Falcons just use their most valuable asset, their number 8 pick, to draft a player that will never be on the field and ever help me and this team win a game if things go well. Some people are pointing to the GM. I come to the Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons. To me, this is on him. When you are the owner, I'm not saying you need to be involved in every nitty-gritty decision. I've owned businesses. I got a coffee company now. I had a pants company. I had a media business. I've invested in a lot of companies over the years. Big structural direction decisions need to be made by owners. I would understand if the Falcons were saying, hey, we're drafting a guard on the offensive line. Probably Arthur Blank, I'm going to just toss it out there, not an expert on offensive line play. I bet he's not sitting around watching guards tape of them all year long. If he says to his GM and his ownership and the management structure, hey, you guys are in charge of going and finding the best offensive lineman, the best guard that could help us, that's not something that I think the owner should necessarily get involved in. But the direction of the franchise, the narrative of how you return to the playoffs, is without doubt the province of the owner. and you have chosen diametrically opposed directions. Kirk Cousins is going to lead us back to the playoffs. That's why we're giving him $100 million. We should surround him with everything we can to make that possible, is one narrative. It's one direction. It is one goal of how to build a franchise going forward. Michael Penix is a franchise caliber quarterback, and we are investing behind him, and we are going to build a team for him to take us back to the playoffs, is another narrative. It's another direction for the business. By going in both directions simultaneously, you have negated your ability to lead to a successful place, aka the playoffs. You've undercut Kirk Cousins by investing a lot of money in him and not building the best team around him that will be on the field. And you have not given Michael Penix the best opportunity because he might sit on the bench for 3 or 4 years. And the big advantage that you get right now in the NFL is if you draft a young quarterback like C.J. Stroud, who looks like he is going to be very successful, you actually get him way under market for what he should cost, which allows you to build a great deal of talent around him without having to pay his fair market value. A top quarterback in the NFL right now is worth around $50 million. A first-round quarterback is going to cost you $8 or $10 million for the first 4 years, which frees up hundreds of millions of dollars if he's the right guy for you to sprinkle on talent around him. So what the Falcons have done here is they have simultaneously sabotaged both directions of the franchise by drafting Michael Penix Jr. instead of going with Kirk Cousins. One or the other is fine. You're in on Kirk Cousins, you're in on Michael Penix Jr. Both simultaneously is not the right answer. Now, some of you are going to say, well, what if Kirk Cousins gets hurt and then Michael Penix comes in and then he plays really well? Then it was the right choice. No, it still might get you a decent result, but it's all happenstance and it happens in spite of your choices, not because of them. This is important, and I think most people who are defending the Michael Penix Jr. choice don't have very much business acumen. Arthur Blank is 81. Maybe he is just not as confident now as he was when he founded Home Depot, but he failed here. I don't put this on the GM. The GM may not be great at business. I don't put this on the head coach. The head coach may not understand business either, but what Arthur Blank is doing is like if he founded Home Depot and he said, hey, at Home Depot, we're going to sell all building products. We're going to be the greatest building products place, but also we're going to sell candy. You'd take a step back and you say, wait, what do you mean? You say like, well, the goal is, let me give you another example. The goal is we're going to have all building, and then we're also going to be a toy store. You say, well, I don't know about this idea. Explain it. Well, you're hedging your bets by not committing to a business strategy. And I'm not talking about Walmart or Target, where you are the convenience store and you're trying to sell everything. The reason Home Depot works is because they have a better selection, in theory, of building materials than any other mass retailer in America. Now, maybe you love Lowe's or whatever. That's their competition. But they don't mix building materials and Toys R Us. You aren't like, hey, you know what? I need a bunch of 2x4s and I'm going to go buy the latest Monopoly game. You would be like, why are we giving up half of our floor space and cutting our ability to be the best at providing either toys or construction products? We have to have a lane. Arthur Blank destroyed the lane. And this is why I think it's an instructive example. We'll clip this and we'll share it. And I actually think if you were in business school and you happen to be a sports fan, you could look at this and say, you know what? That's actually a really interesting way to think about it. I'd be pissed if I were a Falcons fan because I think they've totally screwed this up. All right. Southern Cal canceled their graduation. Supposed to happen, I think, May 15th or thereabouts. Unfortunately, if you're a Southern Cal graduate, you also had your high school graduation potentially canceled as well because that was the COVID year. So you've lost your high school graduation to COVID, and now your big college graduation, the one that everybody attends, to anti-Israel protest. And I think this is cowardly. I think it speaks to the failure of universities to be able to handle speech and do so in an intelligent fashion. So in my opinion, I would just say, if you're going to disrupt graduation, we're going to arrest you. You have the right to protest. You don't have the right to disrupt Southern Cal's graduation. We're going to have a lot of security. If you try it, we're going to take you out and we're going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. I think that's reasonable. It's what the University of Florida said. I give credit to Ben Sass, formerly the governor of Nebraska. I tweeted it out. They have a very specific policy in place at the University of Florida. You're allowed to protest. You're allowed to make your own signs. You're not allowed to disrupt classes. You're not allowed to camp out on the quad. And some of you seem unable to understand this. Every now and then I get an email or I get tweeted or people are like, you're supposed to believe in free speech. Yeah, I do. You can have any opinion on me under the sun. I've been a public figure now for 20 years. The amount of awful things that have been said about me in those 20 years would put me in the 99.9 percentile for people who have had awful things said about them over the last 20 years. That is, I am in the 0.1% most criticized people in America for the opinions that I share. I've never tried to stop anybody from saying something awful about me. I've never requested some sort of investigation of people for their opinions. It's because I believe in free speech. But if you show up on my front porch and you're protesting, I'm going to call the police and I'm going to prosecute you. You don't have the right to come onto my property at my house and protest something that I said. That doesn't restrict your First Amendment rights. Your rights run into my property at some point in time. And a couple of times over the last 20 years, I've had to turn in threats against my family to officials. I had Fox investigate people. I've had local police departments investigate people. You don't have the right to threaten me, which I care less about. You certainly don't have the right to threaten my family. That doesn't restrict your speech. You can believe in free speech and also believe in content-neutral policies being applied that don't directly impact what you believe. You can love Israel. You can hate Israel. You can share that opinion, and you should be able to, in my opinion, on a college campus. What you can't do is take over university property. What you can't do is show up in a classroom and disrupt instruction. You shouldn't be able to shout down a speaker. To me, these are not complicated differences, but a lot of you don't seem to understand them. And I tie this back in with my position on Colin Kaepernick. I believe wholeheartedly in free speech. I was banned by CNN, for those of you who have forgotten, for saying that I believe in only two things completely, the First Amendment and boobs. Still banned on CNN for saying that like 7 years ago. But Colin Kaepernick, in my opinion, doesn't have the right to make political statements in uniform at work. I would have fired him. Just like I would fire a McDonald's employee if I walked up, if I owned a McDonald's franchise and I had an employee taking orders, and every time somebody ordered a hamburger, that employee said, "Meat is murder." They're entitled to be a vegan. They're entitled to be opposed to the consumption of meat. But I don't have to pay them to spread that opinion in uniform at work. You can believe, I don't think somebody should get fired for what they post on Facebook outside of work. I don't think somebody should get fired for a bumper sticker on their car. But if you put on a UPS or FedEx truck, MAGA 2024, or you walked around in a red Trump cap, I think you should get fired. Because I think it's reasonable for people to expect, and by the way, same thing if you're a Biden-Harris supporter. I think it's reasonable to expect that if somebody's delivering a package for UPS or the Postal Service or FedEx, that the company is not endorsing a political candidate. They want to deliver to everybody. So I give credit to Florida. Content-neutral policies, which are not designed to actually create any kind of endorsement of a candidate. Democrat, Republican, Independent, the rules should be the same. So I've been saying, look, if you protest, in my opinion, outside of a Supreme Court justice's home, in their home neighborhood, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, you're protesting, no matter what the cause is, I think you should be arrested. I don't think that's a tough call. You don't have the right to show up at somebody's front yard and scream and bang on drums and protest what they support, to say nothing of the fact that it disrupts everybody in the neighborhood. I want to tell you, tonight, Prize Picks. PrizePicks.com. Use the code OUTKICK. Here is my pick for all of you. This will pay out at 10 to 1. That is, if you put down $10, you get back $100 if we hit on these four. Damian Lillard. We don't have Giannis playing tonight. Damian Lillard, game 3, Bucks. I've got more than 31.5 points. He is the engine of their offense. I think he goes off for more than 31.5. Luka, back home, tied up 1-1 against the Clippers. 33.5, I'm going less. James Harden, more than 17.5 points. And finally, Shohei Ohtani. I think he has a good night for the Dodgers. More than 2.5 hits, runs, RBI. Lillard more, Harden more when it comes to their point totals. Luka less, Ohtani more. That pays out at 10 to 1. You get up to $100 if you go to prizepicks.com and use code OUTKICK. They will match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com, code OUTKICK. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Couple of other things. Speaking of basketball, LeBron and the Lakers, nobody watched because everybody was watching the draft last night. But LeBron and the Lakers are now down 3-0. I mentioned it off the top. They've lost 11 games in a row to the Denver Nuggets. And LeBron, in his post game, while sitting next to Anthony Davis, said, "It's just basketball." Whenever LeBron loses, he minimizes the importance of what he does. Now, I agree with him. One reason that I left full-time sports talk radio and went in and started doing the Clay and Buck show was because I felt like there were so many issues of really great importance. I don't know that I need to be worried about whether the right call is made in the Florida-Georgia game and do 30 minutes on it on the Monday after college football when I'm worried that the overall country is collapsing around us because of identity politics and cancel culture, which I believe in particular are the twin pillars destroying the sort of woke mindset, destroying the country. So I've been talking, writing about this a great deal. It can be the case that LeBron is right, and it is healthy for him to recognize that what he does isn't very important in the grand scheme of things, while also simultaneously realizing that for the people who have made you a billionaire and are paying your salary, they need to believe at minimum that you care as much about winning as they do, because otherwise you make them look like fools. I'll tell you, as a sports fan, it's one thing for your team to lose. It's another thing for your team to lose and for the players on it to thumb their nose at you and say, well, you know what? We're still super rich. We don't really care. I show up and work as hard as I can every day. It's a point of pride to me that I have never missed a radio show for being sick in my entire career as a media member. Doesn't mean I might not at some point in time, but from the moment I sat down in front of one of these mics in 2007 for a daily or weekly show, I have never missed a show in 17, 18 years, whatever the math is now. Nearly a generation. Now, I take vacation days, let the radio station know months in advance, hey, I'm going to be out these days because I want to be able to take trips with my family because I don't want to be the 85-year-old guy laying in his hospital bed thinking, you know, I wish I had taken my family to Australia. I always wanted to go to Italy, and I never did it. I don't think most people die and say, I wish I had worked more. So I'm trying to balance out work-life. And that sometimes can be a struggle, as many of you know. I try not to hardly ever miss a game. Sometimes I have to travel. My kids eventually are going to be over 18. They'll have their own lives. They probably, like most grown-ups, kids growing up, will go through phases where they don't really want mom and dad that involved with them. All that's normal. But I don't come on and say to you, well, I don't care. I'm rich anyway. I try to show up and do the best version of a show that I can every single day. Now, some of you are going to say, you suck. Your show stinks. That's fine. That's your right. That's your opinion. But there aren't very many people, I don't think, who could say, I've never had to call in sick in 17 or 18 years of media. Never missed a TV show, I don't think. Never missed a radio show. Again, we'll take days off. I'm not claiming that like I have perfect attendance and I never take a day off. I don't think anybody should do that. I think if you have vacation time, in my opinion, certainly if you have a family, you should take it and use it. But I do think that when LeBron comes out and says it's just basketball, he actually undercuts the thing that made him a billionaire. Because ultimately, and I was thinking this as I watched the David Beckham show, despite the fact that we all have a lot of different things going on in our life, ultimately in this world, for public life, what matters is the work product. You can listen, you can watch, you can despise, or you can like, but know that the work product matters to me. You may not think it's any good. You might think there isn't a value to it, but I showed up and wrote millions of words for you on OutKick, and I have shown up and said millions of words for you on my radio shows, TV shows, and everything else. I do my best every single day. The minute that I start thinking, oh, I'm rich, the work product doesn't matter, it's time for me to retire. Because then that's when you start mailing it in. And that's when the overall quality of your performance goes down. So I think that's what LeBron's got to be careful of. Now, he's 39. He may be turning the page and basically saying, I'm going to retire. I don't think LeBron personally is going to retire without a colossal goodbye, because everything is about LeBron. I don't think he would pull a Nick Saban. Nick Saban just saying, I'm going to go through the whole, you know, Nick Saban could have had a full year of goodbyes. They would have made a big show of Nick Saban's retirement all over the SEC. They would have made a big show of his decision to leave on his own terms. That wasn't Nick Saban. He didn't want the big show. LeBron desperately needs love. He's needy. And so he's going to need there to be a long goodbye for LeBron James. And so I think that this is further example of that. I got two more stories here still to go that I think are pretty significant. I don't know that you'll hear this from anybody else and anywhere in media. This is a good example of sports and pop culture and politics colliding. But I was thinking about it today, and I want to make sure we clip and share this. Brittany Griner is a WNBA player who was arrested in Russia for violating drug law in that country. She was in prison for a relatively short time. She admitted guilt. The media became obsessed with Joe Biden getting her back. Even though Evan Gersovich, Wall Street Journal reporter, still there, media has covered it a lot. Paul Whelan was a Marine. He's still there. Brittany Griner was an obsession of the media because she was a black gay woman. And in the identity politics parade, being black and gay and a woman made her an incredibly potent part of Biden's overall coalition that won him the election in 2020. Can you even name, I'm going to be honest with you, I can't. Can you even name the five Americans who are still imprisoned in Gaza? I can't. These are innocent Jewish individuals who are American citizens that were kidnapped and have been held probably in barbaric conditions for nearly 7 months now. We can't name them. One of them, there was a proof of life video this week, and I'm going to name him because this is one of the times where I was sitting around and contemplating it, because otherwise I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about it. How is it that we are in a situation where this individual, five of them, could all be in a position where they are hostages for 7 months, and I bet the five of them combined have gotten 1/1000th of the amount of attention that we have seen for Brittany Griner? And I was thinking of it with what's going on in the situation that has occurred also in the 1980s, when we had people who were basically caught by terrorists in our own embassy. How much attention did it get compared to 1980? Why is no one talking about them? The most recent one, by the way, Hirsch Goldberg Polin, is an American citizen born in Berkeley, lived in Virginia, and then in Israel. He was attending a music festival when he was kidnapped. There is a proof of life video, 3 minutes long, and he identifies himself as the son of Jonathan and Rachel. First time his parents have seen a video of him since he was kidnapped. Why do we not know the five American citizens still being held hostage? Why do we not all know their names and stories? And why have the five of them combined, who did absolutely nothing wrong, gotten, I bet, 1/1000th the attention of Brittany Griner, who admittedly violated Russian drug law when she was arrested. These five people are 100% innocent. They have done nothing at all wrong. And yet, we don't know who they are. And the American media, including me, has given them almost no attention. I think it's a really great question. And unfortunately, I think it's a symptom of identity politics. They should have been black gay basketball players kidnapped. They would have been home by now. Lastly, Joe Biden has the worst approval ratings of any president in any of our lives. This is according to Gallup. Job approval average ratings for January to April 19th, going all the way back from Gallup. They've been doing this since 1956. Highest rated, for instance, politician since the 1950s, at this point in their presidency, Eisenhower. It's crazy to think about now. Eisenhower's job approval, 73.2% at this point in his term, back in 1956. Then you have Nixon. Nixon, 53.7% approval. This is the 3.5 year mark of your first term. Jimmy Carter, 47.7% approval. Ronald Reagan, 54.5. George H.W. Bush, George Bush Sr., 41.8. Bill Clinton, back in 1996, 53% approval. George W. Bush, back in April of 2004, 51% approval. Obama, 45.9%. Trump, at this point in his first term, 46.8% approval. Joe Biden, 38.7% approval. The worst first term presidential approval going all the way back to Gallup doing these polls in the first term of Dwight Eisenhower in 1956. That is pretty crazy to think about. That is how unpopular Joe Biden is. Legitimately, I guarantee you almost, unless you're super old and you're watching or listening to this, no president at this point in his first term has ever been less popular than Joe Biden is right now. All right, I hope all of you have fabulous weekends. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I am Clay Travis. This has been OutKick, the show.